I want to thank Anita Tenorino. And Dennis Tenorino was here at one time and shared and spoke. And a few other bodybuilders had been here, I understand, and had shared their testimony as well. And I want to thank Anita Tenorino for making this possible. I haven't been out speaking much lately. I do work in a health food store in California, in the desert, Rancho Mirage, Palm Desert area. I don't know if you're familiar with Palm Springs, but I lived out there for 20 years. But I enjoy being back in the ministry, and I know God's calling me back in the ministry again. I've been out 20 years in the ministry with my wife. A year ago, she passed away. But that's something that the Lord has helped me get through. Anita Tenorino has helped me get through all this. So I am an overcomer. And thanks be to God who gives me the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. He's been good and faithful and a big help in my life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day and this opportunity. I ask God that you would just move upon us. Touch lives here today, Lord, somehow, that the Word of God can go forth in power and in your grace and mercy, Lord Jesus, that people would be touched today somehow and made stronger in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I am a Mr. America and a Mr. Universe. God made that possible. He had changed my life and turned it all around. But I had started out as a 14-year-old weakling. I was skinny. I was being pushed around a lot. I had allergies, hay fever. And I got into a lot of fights when I was young. My last name is Birdsong. And not bird brain, not bird legs, not bird feathers, or bird bath, or bird cage. Or tweet tweet. That's okay. You can laugh. They don't call me those names anymore. But those were the things that got me into lifting weights. Those were the things that got me to make a decision and a determination to get where I'm at today. And because of that, the whole plan unraveled, the plan of God, starting that day when I made a decision to overcome my handicaps. And so I did overcome my handicaps. I went out and got a set of weights one day and started looking through the muscle magazines. And I told myself, self, I want to be like these guys in the muscle magazines. I want to be somebody. I want respect. So I went out and got these weights, started lifting weights in my basement at home and going to school during the daytime and coming home every day, hitting the weights. And I was so determined to overcome these handicaps I had. I also had flat feet, and that kept me out of the service. So I couldn't get into the service even if I wanted to at that time. And being pushed around a lot, I didn't like that. And the name calling in the high schools, my brothers and I, we kind of, I mean, one of us got into a fight, the other two was there, so we all three ended up getting into a fight. And as we had gotten older, went into the nightclubs, we knew a lot of the people in the nightclubs, and Fort Knox soldiers right down the road from us, and they would come into town, and they wanted to meet girls, and we knew all the girls, and they didn't like that, so they started throwing beer bottles around the room, and we got into some scraps that way also. And a lot of times my dad had to help us get out of these fights with baseball bats and shotguns and things that we didn't really want to carry around with us, but we were kind of had to have them laying low in the car so these kind of things, you know, started up and happened. But I wasn't always like this. because I like to be out and do my own thing, and bodybuilding was my game and my God. And these guys with the muscle magazines were my idols, and I looked after them. I wanted to be like them, and so I pursued this route through 1 year to the next. I got into school. I was studying art, graphic design at the University of Louisville and Murray State University in Kentucky. Then I transferred to the University of Cincinnati in Ohio. And I got into a dormitory. I was weight training in the dormitory at the same time I was teaching bodybuilding in the dormitory in the basement, where there was a male and female exercise room together, where I could get in there and make some money working there. That was good, because I was working my way through college, and at the same time I was able to train. And I had an opportunity to come to California, and I took the opportunity. My dream came true, so I moved to Los Angeles, and I was living in Hollywood, and the Art Center College of Design at that time was right there in Los Angeles in Hollywood. And so I was studying for 1 year. I was going to a gym in North Hollywood called Vince's Gym and working out in that club for a while. And then I gave up my art career, and I pursued my bodybuilding endeavors. I spend more time on that because my money ran out at that time going to school. So I was happier anyway, because I was the outside type of person. I always wanted to go out and do my thing, express myself that way, not sit behind a desk and push a paintbrush or a pencil. So I started going to the world famous gym in Venice, California. Gold's Gym, the one and only gym at that time, Gold's. Now there's one in every street corner around. But that time we had guys like Arnold, Lou Ferrigno, Frank Zane, Rick White, all these muscle guys that were in this magazine. I was happy and proud and excited to be around these guys, thinking I would learn what they know, what they're doing, and be like them so I can compete with them. And I did. I put in extra time. I put in extra effort because I wanted to be as good as they were on stage. So I worked avidly at it. And I spent a lot of time in the gym working out. And one day I was getting ready for the Mr. America contest to be held in New York. And so I went into this restaurant in Hollywood to get a bite to eat. And my friend, Kent Keene, I don't know if any of you follow the muscle magazines, but we were training together, sitting in this restaurant. We were eating, and we noticed two ladies sitting at another table. They had gotten up and approached us. We had asked them to sit down, and they started talking about weightlifting, because one of the ladies, their son, lifted weights. And so they were asking me a few questions about exercise, and so that was cool, and I was happy to give them a few answers, but I thought they were there for another reason. So I thought maybe they were going to hustle us some way. And so after I had finished eating, I pulled out a bottle of pills and put them on my plate. I was going to take a few of these before I went to the gym. One of the ladies, her name was Maxine, she said, "Bob, out of all those pills you have on your plate, you're missing one that could give you more strength." Well, I was curious. I wanted to find out what this one pill was. And I said, "What is this one pill you're referring to? What is it? I want more strength." She said, "It's called the Goss pill." What's the gospel? Tell me about it. Bob, I'm glad you asked me that question. So she said, "Bob, are you familiar with Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins?" And he was dead, he was buried, he was raised from the dead, he's alive now, and he offers you a life of promise. He gives you a plan, and he will also give you more strength in your life. So I said, no, I didn't know any of this. But I didn't have a lot of time to listen to them. And in fact, hearing this the first time, I was ready to split like a yo-yo. So my friend and I, after we had gotten up, paid our bill, we just ran out of that restaurant. And we went to the gym, and we were laughing, mocking these two ladies, because we called them the sin twins, because they told us that we had been sinners, and they had been sinners, and God forgave them. But so we went to the gym. The following week, my friend and I went to New York, and I won the Mr. America contest. And so we came back from New York. We went into the same restaurant to get a bite to eat, hoping we wouldn't see these ladies. But we did. As we were eating, these two ladies walked into the restaurant. And there they were. So they came to our table and said, well, how was everything? How was this show? And I said, I won the Mr. America contest. And they said, good, we prayed you would. I said, well, thanks. Thank you, but I didn't feel like I needed any help. See, that was the flesh, and we need to learn how to die to the flesh. We need to learn how to live to God. So we asked them to sit down again, so they continued sharing about Christ and was really getting involved in this, and they had invited my friend and I to a full gospel businessman's meeting in Beverly Hills at this time, and they told us there was a big meeting. A lot of people involved in this meeting are in the movie industry, and so if you're interested in possibly meeting a few of these people, you know, come over to it, and here's a pamphlet. They gave us a thing. It was Pat Boone was going to be there as a speaker and so on and so forth. So, yeah, we said we would like to go there. So we went out and got a bunch of business cards made up. And 2 weeks later, we had gone to this meeting in Beverly Hills, hoping that we could meet people in the movie industry that could further our careers, because we wanted to be in the movie industry, make a lot of money in our life, and be famous, and so on and so forth. So after this was over, I pulled out a bunch of business cards, and we started passing them out to all these businessmen, thinking that we just need one person to give us a call, and I can be famous. I could be rich. I'll be a movie star. So everybody who got a card, all these men gathered together at a table, and they put all these business cards on the table, laid hands on them, and started praying for us. And so as they did, we kind of snuck out. We left. But that was a good day, hoping that they would give us a call. So as time went on, wasn't long afterwards, I was getting ready for other contests, competing, and I wanted to I was so much in the flesh at this time in Hollywood, the wine, the women, and the song, and the games people play, and the cars, and things that I wanted in the flesh to make myself happy and have a good life. And so I was going wholeheartedly after all these things and not really caring about anything else but myself. But God was working all these things in a strategic way to reach out to my friend and I. And not long afterwards, these ladies invited me to go to the church on the way and invited me to a miracle healing service. So I did go to this miracle healing service, and there was a few thousand people in this Angelus Temple auditorium, and people were in line and getting prayed for at the end of this meeting. And so it was really awesome how God was and what God was doing. But again, this is my first introduction of things of God and what God was really doing and what he can do in people's lives. Brent Baker was the speaker at this time, and as he was praying, laying hands on people, I saw things happening. I saw blind eyes open up and deaf ears unstopped, and people getting out of wheelchairs and people getting healed from different diseases and sickness, and all these things were truly of God. It wasn't man. It wasn't a hoax, because I saw these things happening. It encouraged me to really see that God was real, because I didn't really know if God was real. We hear about God all the time up in the heavens, but we don't really see the reality of God moving in people's lives up till then. And so that kind of made me want to really get involved in the more things of God and go to these different meetings and things. But at the same time, I wasn't ready yet to give up things in my life, because I had good things going. I had friends. I had these cars, the wine, the women, and the song, and the games people play, and all these things that I was doing. I was kind of juggling these things back and forth and using them to my advantage. And so in this line, it's getting smaller, and these two ladies, I call it again the sin twins, were one on one side and one on the other side. They were nudging me and said, "Bob, you want to go up and give your life to Christ?" And I said, "I'm not ready yet." And after 10 minutes, "Bob, you want to go up and pray and accept Jesus in your life?" And so as the line got smaller, shorter, I decided, yes, okay, I'll go up and pray with this pastor. So they got up with me, and they got in line with me just to make sure that I wouldn't go sit down again. So one was in front, one was in back, and they were kind of watching me. Now, mind you, these ladies, they were sisters, and they were, at that time, I was around 30, 35. They were about 60 and 65. So they were kind of watching me, making sure I wouldn't run. So when the time came, as Brent Baker was praying, and he said, the lady I was with, and from Maxine, said, "This is Bob Birdsong, Mr. Universe. He wants to pray with you." And so I didn't know that this Brent Baker was going to announce this in the auditorium. So he did, and he said, "This is Bob Birdsong. He just won a Mr. America contest, and he wants to pray, and so please pray with us." And so as he laid his hands to the sky and was praying and laid his hands on my forehead as we were praying, I fell back on the ground. I fell backward. And I thought, this little swirling guy just pushed down Mr. America. It was hard for me to stand up thereafter. And so I got back up, deflated, cried, and continued praying. And as he was praying, I fell back on the ground again, a second time, knowing that it wasn't him, because I put my feet in a certain area so they wouldn't, or he couldn't push me down, but God did. And God just wanted to show me there's a much greater power than myself out there. And so I got up, prayed the sinner's prayer, asked Jesus into my heart, my life, to be my Lord, my Savior, and direct me. And so that was really the main beginning of the time where I really changed somewhat to where I could turn myself around and follow after somebody and something more than myself. And so time went on, and still I was still playing games. And I said I wasn't ready to let go of these good things in the world. But the Bible says, "Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. For if any man should love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." I was dealing with that from that time on, because as I was reading the Bible and learning the things of God, it was hard to let go of these things because of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and these kind of things that the devil uses as a tool to keep us so involved and grounded with the things of the world and not the things of God. He will. He'll put a blindfold on your eyes if you could, if you let Him. If you so determined to just lay back and let Him take over, you won't see the things of God. You won't know, because He does it in such a tricky way. The devil is a sly character. And a lot of us know this. But the Mr. Universe contest was coming up soon, and I wanted to win this contest, and I had prayed with these ladies, the Sin Twins, and to help me win this contest. So we prayed. I got in the contest that day. My mom and dad came out from Kentucky, and they wanted to be with me, and I told them, I want you guys to be here, and I'm going to win this contest because I feel God has a plan here and I want to do it. So I made a deal with God. You ever make a deal with God? Some of you have. I said, God, this is what I'm going to do for you. And no, that ain't the way you... But I didn't know any difference. And I said, God, if you help me win this contest, the universe contest, I can use this title for your glory. And I will make a decision to leave this Los Angeles, Hollywood area and pick up my cross, and I will follow you and use this as a testimony. So I did. I got into this contest this day, and I came in second place. And actually, Dennis Tenorino won the contest. So, the power of God is more real, more powerful than we can ever hope. So, I said, maybe I made a mistake making this deal. I decided I will just pick up my cross and follow you anyway. I will leave Hollywood. I will leave all these things behind me. I will forget the wine and women, the song and the fast cars and all the fast women, everything out there. And I will pick up my cross and follow you anyway, because that's what I wanted to do. But since you didn't care about me winning this title, I'll forget it and go on about my life. 30 days after that contest, Dennis Tenorino, my brother and friend, was disqualified at that time, and I got a phone call from the president of the bodybuilding committee and a letter in the mail stating that he had been disqualified because he wasn't really sanctioned to be in this affiliation at this time, even though he did win the show. I mean, the contest, the title. So God turned that title over to me to be used for the glory of God at that time. And then God had another bigger plan for Dennis. So I used that title. I left Los Angeles. I moved out into the desert, dry and high places. And the two Sin Twins had moved out into the desert. They bought a home out there, and they invited me. They said, Bob, we have a big room in the back of this house. You can help us pay the rent and if you decide to come out here, and we can study and learn and get close to God. And so I decided I really had no other place to go but out there to the desert at this time. And so I did. I moved. I took my van, which I had at that time. I put all my belongings and things in it and left L.A. And when I left L.A., I left four cars behind me, a few women, which is no big deal anyway. I mean, nothing wrong with women. It is a big deal to God. But at that time, they didn't know the Lord. So I went out and just trusting and believing God. The Bible says that Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So He did. He directed me out into the desert. These ladies had a home there, and so I moved in. I got a job down the road there in a restaurant. Now, I wasn't used to working in a restaurant, but I got a job there as a host in this restaurant. A host filled with the Holy Ghost. That's nice. And I was able to witness and share the Lord, people coming in and going out there. And so that was kind of neat, except when you have a big line in the back wanting to get in and out of that restaurant and you're over there laying hands and praying for people. I didn't stay there that long because of that. We get so caught up in the serving the Lord at times. When you're a new Christian, you really, and I didn't really know the etiquette about Bible etiquette. You know, you don't stand in, when people, you got about 10 people waiting in line, you're still trying to reach out to somebody and pray over them. But I had to learn those things. And as we got into the Bible and grew in the Lord, I grew also into a more mature person in the Lord, and God redirected me. And so I was in this desert for 2 years. And I was praying, and I said, God, I need a mate. I'm ready to get married, and you're starting to call me into ministry, so I want somebody who can be a mate, somebody who loves you. And so one day I went home from work, and I turned the television on, and there was a speaker on TV. His name was Paul Yonggi Cho. Heard of him? And at that time, he had about 500,000 people there that he was ministering to. I know now it's probably tripled that or more. But at that time, he looked at me. He said, if you want a mate, make out a list. And so the Holy Spirit quickened me at that time. And so I got a piece of paper and a pencil. And I started making a list. And I wanted to hear what he had to say. So he said, listen now. He said, you put God first on that list. Well, if you're praying for a mate, or if you want to pray for a mate, you always put God first on that list. Somebody who loved God more than anything else. Because at that time, bodybuilding was my God. And these muscle guys in the magazines were my idols. But when you die to the flesh and let God take over, and, you know, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, He becomes your God. And the Bible says, Jesus is our God. So He says, make out a list. So I wanted somebody who loved God more than anything else. I wanted somebody who would be willing to travel in the ministry if God called me into ministry. I wanted somebody who liked to cook because I liked to eat. I used to eat 5 times a day. Actually, once a day. All day long. You know? That time I lived to eat. Now I eat to live. Eat the food, the Word of God, and grow in God. So I started writing down things. Love. I went to somebody who loved art, Christian art, because I went to school and studied art, and so I wanted somebody who could respect and enjoy and be with me, you know. So I wanted somebody who loved children, because I love children, and someday I thought I would have some children. And so I wanted somebody again who would travel. I wanted somebody who would be with me, and somebody who would lay down their life and just pick up their cross. And so Paul Yonggi Cho said, now when you pray, pray specifically for your need. How many of you know the Bible says pray specifically for your need? Because if you pray in general, you might marry a general. Well, you never know. So I made my list, and I waited for God to bring all this to pass. And so I started meeting people in this restaurant, which worked in the restaurant was one of the girls that I met. She was a Mormon in the past, and the Sin Twins were in there all the time sharing the Lord in this restaurant together, and brought her to the Lord out of the Mormon religion into Christianity. And so she started going to church with all of us. And so as we were in church and we were praising the Lord, I heard her sing, because I wanted somebody who could sing for the Lord. My last name is Birdsong, not Songbird. So I couldn't sing like a bird, but she sure did. At that time, I was hearing her sing, and I said, okay, I'll just, possibility, but I wanted to see what God was going to do. And one time we went to a Christian bookstore, and she picked out some things that had some artwork on the Bible, artwork on a belt, and some other things. It was showing me that she liked Christian design, Christian art. And I said, God, God showed me a few things with her. And so as we were growing in the Lord, going to these Bible studies and doing different things, God was showing me this girl would soon be, he would bring this girl in my life. And so I was praising God as to what he was doing in my life. And so I'm going to give God glory and honor for this, because as God created man and woman and put man in a sleep and took a rib out of man and made the female, Adam woke up out of a deep sleep and saw this. And he said, whoa, man. That's how we got woman. Woman, get it? A rib. Anyway, so out there somewhere is your rib walking around. So I prayed and I said, God, thank you here. So it didn't take long after God brought this girl into my life that we got married the next day. Not really. So it took about a while for God to work in my life, in my heart, as we got stronger in the Lord. And said, I didn't have a lot of money at this time working in this restaurant, so I volunteered one day to sweep the floor where I was living, vacuuming it, and I found a gold wedding band on this floor. It didn't belong to these two girls, these two ladies. And so I picked the ring up and put it someplace, and I said, maybe someday this ring will fit the one I married. So the day I did get married, I presented this little ring to her, and it fit her perfectly. So that's all the money I had, put that little ring on her finger. And so God blessed us with it, and we used it. And he directed our lives into the ministry. He brought me, my wife, sent us out to Albuquerque, New Mexico for 2 years to help get the Fellowship of Christian Athletes back into the schools and colleges and get them strengthened. We were there for 2 years, and then God opened the doors up for me and my wife to move back to California. And so I knew God was going to open up some new avenues. He allowed me to get back into the bodybuilding contest and compete again. But this time it was for his glory, because we had writers in the magazine come out and do some testimonial articles in the Muscle magazine, which happened to be worldwide. At this time, God opened up avenues and doors all over the United States and in Canada for us to go out to speak in full gospel, businessmen's meetings, churches, open-air crusades, high schools, gyms, and prisons. And so we were doing this for about 20 years when we lived in Palm Springs. And then things had gotten tight, and I went into a chiropractor one day as I was getting ready for a contest, and this chiropractor, he hurt my back and he fractured it, so I couldn't work out or do anything but go out into the ministry somewhat. But I didn't have anything going at that time, so I just waited on the Lord to show me what to do, and it took a year to recover from that hazard. And God was moving and working in my life, strengthening my back and healing it, but it took quite a while to do that. But today, I'm out there and reaching out to the lost. I know God paid the price. He didn't owe. We owe a debt we cannot pay. And we need to realize because of it, we do have something God has given us to do for Him, which is to go out and preach the gospel. We need to be more avidly doing this in our communities, winning souls. And we need to just keep into the Word of God and grow in Him and in His grace. Now, there comes a time in this ministry when I'm going to challenge you because God did give us His strength and His power. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But I feel at this time, as I'm getting ready to close this testimonial up right now, anybody in here has a need who wants to reach out to accept Jesus Christ into their heart. Is their Lord and Savior. I want to challenge you now in this room with eyes closed, heads bowed. God wants to move. God wants to do something in your life. Open up your heart. Let Him come in. Let Him change your life. I want you to slip your hand up right now if you want Jesus in your heart. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you want to know Him today, you want God's love and His power in your heart. Just remember what Jesus did for you on the cross. The blood of Jesus made all things possible for you. And He has a plan for you. He wants to do a work in your life and in your heart. Some of those may want to draw closer to God than what you really are. God can move, direct your heart and your life. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit, redirected, give you more power and more strength in your life than you ever hoped for before. The power of God moves on you. All things are possible. Because God wants to use you in His plan. Slip your hand up right now.